And when it all comes down, when you hit rock bottom, it's on you to bring yourself out of it. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Strong Stoic Podcast. I am your host, Brandon Tumblin. The idea of showing up for yourself is a bit odd, because how the hell could you not show up for yourself? You are you, after all. However, we all fall short of showing up for ourselves. It doesn't simply mean being physically ourselves or being physically present. On that, surely, we have no other choice. We are always physically ourselves. But like many philosophical ideas, perhaps it's best to think of this idea of showing up for yourself as being a friend to yourself, as Seneca would encourage us to do. But what does this really mean? This podcast is supported by Patreon supporters. If you want to check out Patreon, my Patreon, you can find me at Brandon Tumblin. There you can support me. It's not expected, but it's deeply appreciated. Also consider checking out my free Telegram group chat. You can join in there on the discussion of all the podcast episodes. So definitely check that out. I love seeing people join that and join in on the discussion. My articles, if you're interested in reading things that I write and wrote in the past, you can find that on Medium and the Stoic Gym magazine. And finally, my newsletter is on Substack. If you want to sign up there, you get the episodes of the podcast emailed directly to you, as well as other things from time to time. So check that out. Hopefully you have a friend or two. You have at least have or had two parents, though this doesn't always translate to a friend, mother, or father. The point is, if you've ever had a close relationship, period, with someone, with anyone, someone that you genuinely cared about, I'm sure you know what it means to show up for them. If they're moving, if they need to talk about something, if they need to borrow an egg, what's the right response as a friend, as someone who cares about them? Well, it's obvious. The right thing to do is to help them move, to listen to them attentively, and to lend them an egg if that's what they want, and you have one. Now, what label can we put on all those examples? It's work. Moving takes time and energy. Listening takes time and energy. Lending someone an egg, though quite tiny, does require the resource of money, which is acquired through spending your time and energy. So it all gets down to resources, the expenditure of energy, of resources, which is work. Now, it may sound cynical to think about external relationships as such, right? I mean, you give people your time and energy, you work for them, quote-unquote work for them, but all relationships require work. I mean, any good therapist, couple therapist, would tell you that romantic relationships certainly require work. It's the same with all relationships, though. They need to be maintained. It's like getting an oil change in your car. Of course, work doesn't mean necessarily good or bad or unpleasant or pleasant. You know, there's a notion in the West that we have that work is not a good thing. It's something that you don't want to do. That's how we think about work in the West. It's something that you don't want to do. That's a bad idea, in my opinion. I don't think work is necessarily something you don't want to do. There's that line, if you love your job, then you'll never work a day in your life. What that means is that if you love your job, work simply doesn't feel like work, but it's still work. You're still expending time and energy. That is certainly the definition in the science of physics of what work is, and I think that's the definition of work, period. It's expenditure of time and energy. Work is work, period. It's just that some work fit us better, some work is more meaningful than others, and so when you have a job that is meaningful, it doesn't feel like something that you don't want to do because it is something that you actually do want to do. So I would encourage you to rethink how you think about the term work. It's like physical exercise. It's hard work. It's hard work. But if you enjoy it, whatever you're doing, if it's weightlifting or, I mean, hell, even playing a particular sport, playing basketball, if you enjoy it, it doesn't quite feel like it. It's fun, right? That's the idea. But it's still work. You're still expending time and energy. Now, relationships take work. And I don't just mean romantic relationships. All relationships with other people, they take work because they require you to show up. And what showing up really means is expending your resources, either time, energy, sometimes money, into helping someone else that you care about. Now, many of us have no trouble showing up for others. Many of us are happy to help other people, though not all. So let's just dispense with the romantic idea that we are all inherently altruistic. At the very least, we know what it means to show up for others, though. I'm sure most people know what that means, even if they wouldn't do it. It means doing work because someone else needs it, doing something for someone else. And why then do we struggle to understand what that means for ourselves? You see, similar to showing up for others is showing up for yourself. It means doing work that you need to do, doing work that needs to get done in order so that you can flourish or be happy. It means doing all the things that you need to do, everything to flourish and be happy. And what are some of those things? Exercise is good. Eating mostly well, that's a pretty good idea as well. Perhaps some meditation. A lot of people take benefit from that. What about introducing yourself to people? What about making new friends? What about having friends? What about maintaining friends? What about trying to form a good relationship with your parents and family? What about getting therapy when you need it? What about asking for help when you need it? Now, all those things I just listed, I'm sure, are not surprising to you. You've heard probably all of that before, and I'm sure you agree with that. I'm sure you wouldn't hesitate to tell someone else, perhaps a close friend, that, well, if you're mentally struggling, maybe you should go to therapy. You don't think they're weak. You don't think anything bad on them. You tell them that advice because it's good advice. So there's nothing shocking here. This is all stuff that we've known for a very long time, and I'm sure you know. There's an episode of the Joe Rogan Experience where David Cho talks about Anthony Bourdain's suicide. Now, I didn't know Anthony Bourdain before really listening to this episode, but he was essentially a master chef and unfortunately took his own life. He was friends with Dave, this David Cho, on the Joe Rogan Experience. And Dave talks about this incomplete vulnerability on the Joe Rogan Experience. So it's definitely worth, even if you don't want to listen to that whole episode, because his episodes are like 3 hours long, it's definitely worth checking out the clip where he talks about Anthony Bourdain, because it's a really good talk, and it's heartbreaking, so bear yourself, but it's definitely worth watching. But anyways, David talks about how Anthony Bourdain, he asked him for help. He wanted to know if it was normal to be suffering despite being successful. Yeah, guess what? Success doesn't really give you happiness. It's not how it works, unfortunately. But he asked David what he could do to get over it. How can I get better? What can I do? And Dave gave him a list of clinics that he went to when he was struggling. He gave him some advice, and he was happy that his friend was actually asking him for help. But he said that Anthony did that thing that people do where you're content with the fact that there's things that you could do. You're content with the fact that someone cares about you, but you feel like you don't actually have to do the things to make yourself better. You don't feel like you actually have to go to therapy. But it's good to know that it's there, right? That's good enough, right? Well, David loved this man, obviously, and he actually calls him an asshole. Yeah, he did. He called him an asshole because, and I quote, "you couldn't even show up for yourself." So you're suffering. and you search for answers. You search for enlightenment. You find some, or at least someone that has some of the answers that you're looking for. And nothing crazy. Just some ideas that have been around forever. Get outside, enjoy nature, exercise, eat well, have some good relationships, find some meaningful work. There's nothing on that list that is surprising to anyone. Yet we all fall short of doing all of those things as best as we could. In other words, we all fall short of showing up for ourselves. So Anthony Bourdain, he gets this list of clinics that he can go to from Dave, and he feels content to just know that someone gives a shit, that someone is willing to help him. But that's not showing up for yourself. It's merely the first step, and it's an important step. Asking for help is an important step. But the actions that follow, that's what showing up for yourself really means. Asking for help, asking for wisdom to know what to do, that's a first step. It's a crucial step. But action is what allows us to walk out of hell. Walking is an action. If you want to walk out of hell, you have to act. Not just know that you have to walk out of hell or how to walk out of hell. Unfinished tasks, it's not the way to go. So what does it mean to show up for yourself? Well, it's the same as showing up for a friend. It means doing the things that you need to do to flourish and be happy. Why is that so hard? Well, for one reason, because it's work. You know, we're prone to laziness. We're prone to gluttony, to eating too much. We're prone to not want to be vulnerable. We're prone to all of that stuff. Showing up for yourself is hard because it requires work. In the case of Anthony Bourdain, and this is what I think the fundamental issue is, it seems to me that he simply didn't have any faith that he could get better. And when you feel that way, when you feel like there's nothing you could do to get better, why keep on living? You know, I heard Jordan Peterson once say, "Can you get better? Yes, but only if you have the humility to set the bar sufficiently low." And I love that quote. I love that quote. It's so powerful. But I think there's another side to that. I think there's something that's, let's say, there's something that must come before that. Can you get better? Yes. But only if you believe that you can get better. What's quite interesting to me is that we have no trouble. None of us have any trouble looking at someone that's not ourselves and agreeing that they could get better, that they can improve their lives. If you look at someone who struggles with obesity, for example, no one has any hesitation to say, well, you could stop eating so much, you could exercise, you could maybe go to therapy and deal with the psychological issues you have that are causing you to be addicted to food. I'm not saying any of that is easy. No one would say any of that is easy. But you know that there's a path that could have this person become healthier. There is a path. There is a road. That doesn't mean it's an easy one to walk, but we could all agree that there is a road. However, we often fail to recognize that in ourselves. Why? Well, because depression and feeling down and feeling upset, they're very strong emotions, right? When you look at someone else, you use your reason. You use your rationality. When you look at yourself, you try and use your reason, but it's hard because your emotions pull you in various directions. Emotions are very strong. There's a Canadian musician who I'm a big fan of, Sean McCann. Myself and Josh Bertolotti have an episode coming out on him on the Paradoxically Speaking podcast, which is, it used to be the Seeker and the Stoic, but we decided to go with Paradoxically Speaking. So that's going to be coming out very soon. We're working hard to get that out to you guys. But we did a full episode going over this because it's a very deep, dark, interesting story. But long story short, this guy, Sean McCann, he struggled with alcoholism. He ended up leaving his band of 20 years, a band that was very well known in Canada. And all over the world, but, you know, they were a Canadian band. They were the party band. And he wanted to quit drinking. He didn't want to be an alcoholic anymore. And he wrote a solo album after he left called Help Yourself. It's an album about taking ownership of all of your flaws, all of your trauma, all of your life. There's a song in that album called Stronger, and he has a lyric that says, "When it all comes down, you'll be nowhere to be found, but I'll be standing here, yeah, I'll still be around." It's a song of self-preservation, the whole album is, and I, along with many Stoics, think that we are all here to help each other, to guide each other to redemption. But the key word there is guide. You see, you can bring the horse to the water, but you can't make him drink it. But let's flip that around. Someone can lead you to the water, but they can't make you drink it. I think we're here for each other. I think relationships are vital for truth, for flourishing, for growth, for self-improvement. But make no mistake, your flourishing is your responsibility, period. It's in your hands. No one can give that to you. And that's why it's your responsibility, because no one can give it to you. Flourishing, happiness, meaning, whatever word you want to attach to this idea of living a life that's worth living, no one can give you that because it comes through intention and action. Your parents will hopefully love you and show up for you, as will your partner and your friends and your kids, if you're fortunate enough to have either of those. But at the end of the day, your happiness is your responsibility. And when it all comes down, when you hit rock bottom, it's on you to bring yourself out of it. It's on you to show up and do the work. You don't have to do it alone. You can ask for help. You can lean on other people. But your intentions and your actions, those are the only things that allow you to flourish. I'll give you the Seneca quote one more time, the one that I alluded to earlier. A quote that Seneca spent his whole life coming to. In fact, you could argue that perhaps this is the pinnacle of Seneca's wisdom. "I have learned to be a friend to myself." Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Consider leaving a rating and review, 5 stars, of course, wherever you're listening to this. If you're new here, this episode's every Tuesday and Thursday released on the Strong Stoic Podcast. I am on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and a little bit on TikTok as well. You can check me out there. You can find me everywhere at The Strong Stoic or Brandon Tumlin. No more bugging today. Thanks again. Cheers. Until